this morning, I need to preach to myself. I want you to listen. It's not that kind of message, Brother Clyde. You don't need to say amen. You know, sometimes as a pastor, you know about everything that's going on. And just the last few weeks, it just seems like our church has been going through a lot of travail. Brother Laurel went to heaven. Marilyn is in the hospital. They had to move her, if you didn't hear, down to Henry Ford because she wasn't doing well in Saginaw. We continue to pray for Brother Russ and Linda. Continue to pray for Wendell. We continue to pray for Terry's little grandson, Eli. We have families in our church that have some relationship problems going on. We have had tons of people that have been sick. You know, and as your pastor, I pray for you. And I just want to fix everything. I just want to be able to, you know, come in and just fix everything. And when things mount up like this, I realize that I can't. And I need to be reminded of some things. And so I want to remind myself of some things this morning, and I want you to listen. Our text verse is that second verse in Isaiah 31 that we read. And you really don't notice what it says unless you're paying attention to it when you read it. It says, yet he also is wise and will bring evil, talking about God, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. God's, and the phrase I want you to focus in on this morning, the phrase that I want to focus in on myself, is where God says, I will not call back my words. The promises that I have made to you, I will never renege on. Those promises that are in this book will be there forever, and I'll never take them back. Let me just tell you what was going on when Isaiah penned these words, and then I just have 2 points this morning, and I promise I'll be quick. I know what time it is, and I know how much time, I know what time you expect to get out of here, and so I'll be respectful of that. But in the day that Isaiah penned these words, it looked bleak for the nation of Israel. The Hitler of the day, okay? I mean, if you're going to liken King Serapibab from Assyria to anybody, it would be liken him to Adolf Hitler. He was attacking Judah, God's people. He was ruthless. There were over 200,000 Jews that he had taken captive. He had gone in and destroyed 46 cities in Israel. King Hezekiah, who led Israel in one of the greatest revivals that they had ever known, they didn't know where he was. As they looked toward Jerusalem, as they looked toward the capital, as they looked for the throne, they didn't see their king. And he was the king that when he ruled in the good days of the kingdom, they looked to him for their hope and their security. He was their confidence. He was their leader. He was their king. And now during this time of travail and trouble, they looked toward that throne and they didn't see him. He was gone and they didn't know where he was. And I don't have time this morning to tell you about the atrocities and the ruthlessness of the Assyrian army as they marched on Judah. They marched on Judah from what we know as Iraq. And they brought destruction to the nation of Israel. And because the nation of Israel didn't think they had any hope, they made an alliance with an unlikely nation. They made an alliance with the Egyptians. And so they asked the Egyptians to come and help them fight the Assyrians because they saw what Assyria was doing. They looked to their king, and their king was gone, and they began to doubt the word of God. He'd made them some promises, but he said, they said, as we look around and see what's going on in our nation, as we see what's going on in our world, it doesn't seem like God is going to keep those promises. It seems like he has recalled those promises to heaven. He said by the prophets, I'm going to be with you. He said by the prophets, I'm going to take care of you. You don't need to worry. I know how it's going to turn out, and everything's going to turn out okay. But the Jews were at a place, and the nation of Israel were at a place that they couldn't fit the promises that God had made them into everything that was going on in their world. And so God comes to them and he says, hey, I want you to listen. I want you to pay attention. I am not going to take back my words. I am not going to call them back. I won't undo them. I know your king's gone. I know you see no light at the end of the tunnel. I know you're used to seeing him on the throne. And I know that he is your security and he's your hope. I know he's not there now, but I want to tell you, I know what's going on. I'm going to keep every promise that I've made to you. I'm not going to call those words back. Hezekiah is going to sit on the throne again. The nation of Israel is going to be restored. So quit doubting me. Believe me, I will not call back my words. Now again, we have some folks in our church that are suffering. They're going through some times right now. They've lost loved ones and they're suffering sickness. And again, there's relationship problems. And we got a couple families that are going through some severe financial difficulties right now. And again, sometimes I wish I could tell all of you everything that's going on, but I know I can't do that. I wish I could tell you so you could pray more earnestly for the people that need your prayers. And again, I would just encourage you to be a people of prayer. Sometimes you can't know all the details of what's going on. You just need to know that we have people in our family that are hurting severely, and we need to hold them up in prayer, and we need to lift them up to God and ask God to intervene in their families and in their lives. And again, sometimes I just wish I could share all the details with you, but I can't do that. You know I can't do that. I know I can't do that. But sometimes it just overwhelms me about everything that's going on in our church. And again, I wish I could reach into my pocket like I did on Thursday night when we were messing around with senior saints and take some pills out and say, hey, take this and everything will be fixed, or do this and everything will be fixed, or just, you know, I just wish I could fix it, but I can't. And sometimes it gets so overwhelming, and I look to heaven and I say, God, where are you? Why aren't you helping these that we love? Why aren't you helping our family members that are suffering so much? Don't you hear our prayers? Don't you hear our cries? Don't you hear our pleadings to heaven? Why don't you intervene? Why don't you work? And so this morning, I want to remind myself of two things. And again, I just want you to listen as I remind myself. Number one, as God said to Israel, you're going to see the king again. Hezekiah is going to be back. Hezekiah is going to sit on that throne. Hezekiah is going to rule. And he'll provide the security and the peace and the hope that you've known him in the past to provide. There are times when I look toward heaven and I look toward the throne of God, and despair blocks my view. Discouragement blinds me. The tears of brokenness dims our sight. But I want to remind myself this morning, as I remind you, one day those clouds will be lifted. One day that fog will roll away. One day those tears will be dry, and we will look toward that throne and we will see our God sitting on that throne. By the way, he's always been there. He never leaves. Or sometimes we can't see him. Sometimes we wonder if he's there. But one day, all the things that get in the way of us seeing our omnipotent God, one day, all those things will roll away. And we'll look toward heaven. And we'll see our omnipotent God sitting on that throne. And we'll see our Savior sitting by his side. And we'll know that every promise that he's made, he kept and will keep. We'll see him on the throne again. And then number two, he will not call back his words. He won't take any of them back. I think the message that God presented in Isaiah chapter 31 verse 2 is a message that's repeated many times in the Bible. I think Jesus was giving us that same message in John chapter 14 verses 1 and 2 when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." What Jesus is saying, look, I'm telling you the truth. Just like God said, I'm not going to call back my words. I'm not going to take back my promise. What Jesus will say, I'm telling you the truth. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't tell you. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I am going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's not going to take back those words. You can't anchor your, listen, you cannot anchor your life like we were talking about in Sunday school. You cannot anchor your life in the things of this world. This world is temporary. This world is going to pass away. But in heaven, heaven is going to last forever. The foundation of the place that Jesus is building for us in heaven will never wear away, will never erode, will never rot away. It will last forever. He will not call back his words. He won't. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This book is going to last forever, and the promises that God has made us in this book will last forever. And even though we may not be able to see the victory now, one day the clouds will part, the fog will roll away, the tears will be dried up, and we'll see a victorious Savior coming to take that sit on the throne of David and rule this world, and he'll rule it for 1,000 years, and we'll fight the battle of Armageddon, and then we'll go back to heaven to be with him forever. Victory is coming! Don't get discouraged. That's what God through the prophet Isaiah told the people. Said, hey, it looks like Assyria may be winning. Over 200,000 people captive, 46 cities destroyed. But God said, hey, I'm not done yet. I made you a promise. I made you a promise that I'd take care of you. I made you a promise that Hezekiah, again, is going to sit on the throne. God sent a plague, 185,000 Assyrian soldiers died overnight. 185,000. God wiped them out in one night. I mean, their army was so decimated that they had to call off the war. They had to go back to Assyria. They didn't have enough men to continue the fight. And God said, now look, victory's coming. You just need to trust me. I'm not going to call back my words. He said in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I may not see it. I may not understand it. I may not be able to reason out how God is working. But I know God meant that when he said he's not going to take it back. God said in Philippians 4:13, or Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Sometimes we just don't know how we can go on. Sometimes the things we face get us down. Do you ever notice when you go over a bridge, sometimes you see a little sign that says this bridge can handle 12,000 pounds or this bridge can handle 10,000 pounds. It has a load limit. Do you know that God knows our load limit? Do you know that God knows how much we can take? You know that God promises us that he'll never put more on us than we can take? Sometimes it may seem like it's getting close. Sometimes it may even seem that God has exceeded the load that we think we can take. But God said, I know how much you can handle, and I'll never give you more than you can handle. He said in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Those of you that are hurting this morning, let me remind you, as Clyde and Frieda and Debbie sang a moment ago, he's a God that will meet every need, and he will not call back his words. He will not take back that promise. You're here today. And again, because of time, I have 4 or 5 more promises that I wanted to mention to you, but I'll go to the last one. John chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, Jesus talking, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Let me tell you about the most precious promises in this book. The most precious promises that's in this book, and there's many verses that convey it, but my favorite is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Here's a promise. that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We had RBM on Friday this week. Uncle Bob told a story about a bridge that was being built between the state of Missouri and the state of Illinois. They started the bridge from each side. They were going to have a big celebration when they put the last piece in the middle. And they called both towns together and the state, the governors and all that stuff. And they got the crane lifted up that last piece to join those two ends of the bridge together. And it didn't fit. It was too short. When they measured how long the bridge needed to be, they measured in summer. And they forgot that in the winter, when they were trying to join it together, steel contracts. And so the piece they were trying to put in didn't bridge the gap. True story. He said they had to wait till, they had to postpone the festivities till summertime till the bridge, till the steel of the bridge heated up. And then they were able to put that last piece in place. As he told that story, he told the story about a bridge that was built between heaven and earth. And the last piece, to make it short, the last piece of that bridge was the cross of Christ. It fit. And it's the only thing that will bridge the gap between heaven and earth. The greatest promise that God ever made us was that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we don't have to go to hell, but we'll have everlasting life in heaven. And God says, I'll never call back my words. I'll never take them back. It'll always be true. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, first of all, let me tell you, I don't know how you're making it through life. I just don't know how people that don't know Christ can just face the things that we face in this life every day. So I'll tell you that. But I'll also tell you, you're missing the greatest gift that God has for mankind, the gift of life. And if you're here this morning and you've never received it, would you put aside everything that's kept you from taking it in the past? Just put aside your doubts. Put aside, don't try to reason it out. I've been saved for a long time, and I still can't figure out why God loves me. I still can't figure out why he sent his son to die for somebody like me. In a simple childlike faith, I received it. And you can too. You can do it right now. You can do it in this moment. You can tell God that you're a sinner and that you believe Christ died for your sin. And you can ask him to save you. And he will right now. Right now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you're a God that will never call them back. And as Clyde and Frieda and Debbie sang this morning, sometimes it seems like we can't see you and we have to climb those mountains by ourselves. Oh, but then you make yourself known and then you remind us that you're a God that meets every need. I pray this morning for those that are here that don't know you because they've never come to Jesus Christ. Help them see their sin this morning. Help them see the penalty of that sin to be separated from you. And then, Father, help them come to Jesus and receive what he purchased for them on Calvary with his blood. Help them come and take the gift of life. If they need help in doing that, I pray, Father, you'll help them come in just a moment when we stand to sing. We'll take the Bible and we'll show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the Christians that are here. Help us to keep our eyes on you, to realize that you are a God that meets every need. Every need. And help us to rejoice that you're a God that will never call back your words. Never, ever. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.